1902. February 13th, 1902. Press Together, Ellen G. White. In the prayer Christ offered for his disciples just before his crucifixion, he said, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me." What a wonderful prayer is this! Consider it carefully. Study every word, lest you fail of receiving the impression that God desires to make on your heart, an impression of the greatest importance to you. This prayer holds out before us our possibilities, showing that it is our privilege to live in covenant relation with God. Everyone may understand these wonderful, far-reaching expressions, and may appropriate to himself the rich promises they contain. Those who do not avail themselves of the blessings so graciously offered them will be called on, in the day of the Lord, to answer for their refusal to accept the great gift placed within their reach. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Can you comprehend this statement? Is it deeper and broader than your faith can reach? Do you ask, can this be? It can, for God has said it, and he means every word he says. He will not alter the thing that has gone out of his lips. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. The voice that utters this prayer is the voice of our Redeemer. Do not the tones thrill through every part of your being, filling you with a desire so to live that his prayer may be answered? Who can look into the heart of the great mystery of redemption and find it to be love without catching the same spirit that led Christ to die for sinners? As we think of his sacrifice, our life is bound up with his. A desire to serve him takes possession of every fiber of the being. God has united believers in church capacity in order that one may strengthen another in good and righteous endeavor. The church on earth would indeed be a symbol of the church in heaven if the members were of one mind and one faith. It is those who are not moved by the Holy Spirit that mar God's plan. Another spirit takes possession of them, and they help to strengthen the forces of darkness. Those who are sanctified by the precious blood of Christ will not become the means of counterworking the great plan which God has devised. They will not bring human depravity into things small or great. They will do nothing to perpetuate division in the church. It is true that there are tares among the wheat. In the body of Sabbath keepers, evils are seen. But because of this, shall we disparage the church? Shall not the managers of every institution, the leaders of every church, take up the work of purification in such a way that the transformation in the church shall make it a bright light in a dark place? Our great need is unity, perfect oneness in God's work. We are nearing the end of this earth's history, and God calls upon all to lift the standard bearing the inscription, "Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. He calls upon his people to work in harmony. He calls upon those engaged in our medical work to unite with the ministry. He calls upon the ministers to cooperate with the medical missionary workers. And he calls upon the church to take up their appointed duty, holding up the standard of true reform in their own territory, leaving the trained and experienced workers to press on into new fields. No word is to be spoken to discourage any, for this grieves the heart of Christ and greatly pleases the adversary. All need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. All should refrain from disparaging remarks and draw near to Christ, that they may appreciate the heavy responsibilities which the co-workers with Christ are carrying. Press together, press together, are the words of our divine instructor. Unity is strength. Disunion is weakness and defeat. Mrs. E. G. White.